solar eclipse. The cosmic ballet goes on.
My mother told me not to stare into the sun. So once when I was six, I did.
Okay, here it comes. We're going to achieve totality in 20.
Totally, yes.
19.
Totally.
18.
So happy that we're here.
I've seen it on TV, yeah. But I didn't realize it was going to be this cool in person.
There was this
total eclipse of the sun.
And now there's darkness on the face of the earth.
There it is! A total eclipse! Isn't science beautiful?
This is The Takeaway. I'm Ray Suarez, and this week, good to have you with us.
Wow, this is Don. I'm calling from Woodburn, Oregon. We just went into totality.
A thing of beauty and a scientific wonder. For those of us in the continental United States, it's been a long wait, 99 years to be exact, but Eclipse Day was finally here.
We've got a group of about 50 people in our Gordon Courtyard of the condo complex. This is just absolutely amazing. Wow. At our location, we've got about 60 seconds where we can look without the eclipse glasses. There's a corona, and I hear somebody shot off some fireworks. Well, got to enjoy. Bye-bye.
That was Takeaway listener Don calling from Woodburn, Oregon. He's one of the millions of people along the path of totality who experienced a total solar eclipse.
This is Beverly McInnes calling from Penrose, Colorado, and we are at the end of the eclipse here, and I just wanted to let you know about some of the reactions the animals had around here. We're in a rural area. The horses and the mules didn't seem to have too much concern about the eclipse. They went about their business. However, the birds, the wild birds, were very silent for a couple of minutes, and my chickens and guinea fowl were quite interesting. They all gathered up close to their coop. They didn't go in the coop like they would at night, but they all gathered up close and just laid on the ground, which is very unusual for them in the middle of the day. They just acted like they were just pulled down by gravity and stayed still for about 2 minutes. And then got up and went about their business of chasing grasshoppers again.
Takeaway listener Bev from Penrose, Colorado. The eclipse started in Oregon around 10:30 in the morning Pacific time and crossed South Carolina at 2:50 p.m. Eastern time.
Whoa!
That audio from Danielle Venton of KQED Public Radio, who's at the Lost River Field Station in Mackey, Idaho.
What we see in the eclipse is that when we look around the horizon, the first thing that happens is it's actually kind of daylight up until totality.
Jason Kendall, adjunct professor of astronomy at William Patterson University, traveled all the way to Glendoe, Wyoming, population 203, to watch the sun disappear. When we reached Jason earlier today, he was on his way to the eclipse. He explained why today is so special.
Once totality hits, you can see the corona of the sun in the sky surrounding the moon. But what happens is even more striking is stars appear. We'll be able to see some of the planets in the sky. But fascinating, wonderful thing about being out in Wyoming is that you can see along the horizon, very, very distant, where the edge of the shadow ends. And so you see kind of a glow at the edge of the horizon. So when we look overhead, we'll see it not completely, totally dark, but stars will be out. It'll be an amazing experience.
Why does it last only a couple of minutes from the beginning, where it looks like the moon's basically taking a bite out of the sun, till the sun's full out again?
Well, the moon is orbiting the Earth at approximately a kilometer a second, and at our latitude in Wyoming, the Earth is rotating at about 1,000 miles an hour, roughly speaking. But the moon takes about a couple hours to cross in front of the Earth from the perspective of the sun. So if you're looking at the eclipse from the sun, it would take a couple of hours for the moon to go across the disk of the Earth. And so the tiny shadow that we see that people try to get to in the path of totality, that races across the face of the Earth at over 1,000 miles an hour. And it takes just a few hours for that tiny shadow to go. But the partial eclipse, that takes hours because that's how long it takes for the moon to traverse in front of the Earth from the perspective of the sun.
In the last 99 years, and really, human beings have known about these events for thousands of years, What do we know now in 2017 that we didn't know the last time?
Wow. Well, we can look at many things that we've learned over the years. One of them is we, in 1919, the general relativity was, of course, proved by Arthur Eddington going to the off the coast of Africa and looking at the bending of starlight. That's one thing that was proved by a total solar eclipse. But the total solar eclipse this time, our science will allow us to see many more things about the nature of the corona of the sun so that we can study it better. But in terms of the science of what we know, we've got a fleet of spaceships, of orbiting space platforms that study the sun. And so those spacecraft, they actually give us more information about the sun than we would during an eclipse. So very much, this is a great, great, great pilgrimage, a human pilgrimage, more than a scientific one. The science is pretty well understood about what the moon is and what the sun is and what the eclipse is. But there are some people trying to replicate Eddington's work today, and they've been doing it. And there's other people that are trying to fly their planes in the shadow to take extended pictures to see the corona from the Earth. So in terms of the science, we know a lot today that we didn't back 100 years ago, and we don't necessarily need to rely on eclipses because coronagraphs allow that to do us every day.
Jason Kendall is an adjunct professor of astronomy at William Patterson University. He joined us earlier today from Wyoming en route to the path of totality. After the eclipse, Jason wrote us to let us know it was amazing.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.